You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. Please stand and join us, and we'll begin by singing Your Love Awakens Me. This morning. Welcome to worship.
Morning, John.
Morning, Danny. Good to see you. I've been coming in afterwards, and people have been giving me gifts to pass on. So what a blessing that is. And Silas is doing better. He's down to, they changed his shots, I think, to one a month now. And that's a huge blessing, other than every day after work. So they changed the medication in one a month. So Silas was at the benefit for those of you that weren't there, and it was fun to see him doing so well. Also, Julie and I, Danny and Renee, went to the movie Overcomer. You got to go see it. Julie and I were at the matinee, 2 o'clock. Danny and Renee were there at 4. And it goes so much. It's crazy how God does this, because it's going to match up with what I've been wanting to preach on the identity and the crisis that we face in our country. So please go see the movie. You will not be sorry. And it is in East Grand Forks at the theater. for I don't know how long, so check it out if you get a chance. Okay, if you'd like to turn in your bulletins, I'll go through a few of the announcements. You can see the birthdays that are all there, Denise and Kathy and Bob and Carlene and Emily and Missy and Jen and Jerry. So happy birthday, all of you. Also, we're hoping to be able to provide nursery during the worship service, and we need volunteers. So if you would please sign up, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer for that. Also, youth group will be starting very soon, so all interested junior seniors are invited to come to a planning meeting on September 4th. That is this week, this Wednesday at 6:30 here at the church. Contact Christy and Denise, or Denise if you have, with any questions. Also, Sunday school will be starting next Sunday, and we'll run from 9 a.m. until 10, and there'll be a potluck meal after the worship service that Sunday. And we are still needing teachers. We're doing co-teachers, so two per classroom, and you can see the classes that are needed. And if you would help out with that, I would definitely appreciate the commitment to training up our children and pouring yourself into them, pouring the Word of God into them, I should say. Our council meets not this Thursday, but the next Thursday, September 12th. The first day of Good News Club will be September 18th. As you can see, they meet from 3:15 to 4:30. It's all kids, grades K through 12, K through 6 are welcome. If you come after 6th grade, if you're a senior, it's not good. And if you'd like to volunteer to help out with that, please let us know. That would be great. Talk to Peggy. And there's also a sign-up sheet in the foyer for that as well, if you would like to help out by bringing a snack or volunteering to help with it. Youth group kickoff will be held September 18th for 7th through 12th graders, and that will start at 6:45. And bring your friends. We have our quarterly meeting will be held September 22nd. This is a busy month at 9:30. Also, Blue Water Women's Fall Retreat will be held September 20th through the 22nd, and again, information is on the bulletin board in the foyer. Also, See You at the Pole is Wednesday, September 25th at 7:45 in front of the school in town. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cold. And we will pray for schools and just the entire year of education all across I'm going to get better. So please come to that if you can. Also, a Women's Revive event will be held here on September 27th through the 28th, and please watch your bulletin for more information. Any other announcements that I might have missed? I have a wedding, or Julie and I have a wedding this weekend in Grand Forks. We have another wedding in Lancaster the following weekend. So we have a busy schedule coming up. Next Sunday, actually, I did get a hold of Courtney and Ben Pilkvist. I think I said that name right. They are going to be here next Sunday, and Ben is going to deliver a message for us. And before they head out to YWAM training, I believe it is. And we are also going to have a spokesman from the Little Brother, Little Sister program that's going to be here. We are also doing our first day of Sunday school next Sunday. And we're going to probably hold off and pray for the teachers then next Sunday, just because there's a lot missing. And then we'll have more of the teachers here. We'll pray for them and pray for the year as we head on into that next Sunday. Okay. Julie, if you'd come up, please. Thank you.
And I have a few things that I need to announce or changes from those announcements. I had forgotten that Vacation Bible School had enough spaghetti left over that we don't need to be providing the meat part of the potluck, but just bring salads and desserts to go with spaghetti and garlic bread. Right, Jackie and Nikki? Okay, thank you. The other thing is that last week we put out a plea for Sunday school teachers, and we added two helpers and one teacher, but we still are in need of, as you can see, a co-teacher for grades 1 through 3, and 4 and 5, and 8 through 12. And when we went to Overcomer, one of the things that hit me the most is he was mistakenly into another room. I don't want to give too much of this away, but and when he came back to visit this man, he was asking him, "Did you pray for me like you said you would?" And he said, "No, I didn't." And I think that we throw out there and we'll say, pray about if God's speaking to you about being a co-teacher or helping with the youth or helping with Good News, and do we do it? Or do we just walk out the door and it's just another announcement that we made up here and you haven't even put any thought into it? And I just really ask you to do that. Just really pray about, is God speaking to you to co-teach with someone? For one thing, co-teaching is a lot more comfortable because there's two of you. So if you're a little unsure, it's a great way to get started. And also, it just helps the continuity of the class. They know that one of those two people will be there every time. And so it just really helps the flow of our Sunday school. I think that's all the changes that I had to make. And another side note, I guess, just really be praying about nursery, too, because that is a big ministry here, is if we can have someone in the nursery. And a lot of times it's the same people signing up all the time. If you're not serving in some capacity here, I ask you to search your heart, because we need to all be serving. So, okay, Julie's spiel is done. The scripture for today is 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body, and it makes it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Prayer requests. Yes. Oh. Yeah, thank you, Ida. The revive that's mentioned on the bottom for women, September 27th and 28th, I was in charge of leading that up, and this week I just felt extremely overwhelmed and sent a note to the other members of the committee and just said, I just don't think I can do this. And so Lisa is looking at it, and we're finding that we can present it up to 4 weeks later. So just women, be watching. We still will do it, I believe, but be aware we'll be sending out notes for that. And also, people, please remember to check your emails. I still get about a 50% feedback of people that are reading it and 50% that's not sometimes. So please open those emails from Sherry, and if it's going to your junk mail, you can alleviate that. Talk to me or someone else and we'll help you with that. Okay, sorry. Okay, sorry. A lot of announcements. Again, I can't thank all of you enough for the help that you gave for Silas's benefit, like Galen said. And we had a lot of salad left. So Ida said, well, it'll still be good today. So we put it in the cooler, and she has put out to-go containers and spoons. And she wants you, an adult in the family, to dish up into those to-go containers salads.
So, take a bucket, take a couple to go, whatever. I will set up before for mom and dad. So, you only take me, maybe just real for me. And
so, it's all taken care of.
I just want an empty table or empty pail.
Thank you. Okay, Tom? Okay, thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I see a hand, Peggy.
For
Okay.
And also for the people that were involved in that shooting,
okay. Thank you. John. Okay. Thank you. Curtis.
Yes, continue prayer for my brother Don that fell a couple of weeks ago and broke his hip and had to have surgery for that. He's been in intensive care because of cardiac issues that have developed, and they finally had him back on a regular floor now, and he needs to be stable for 2 or 3 days before they can transfer him back to
the regular floor. Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for what you do for us. Lord, you died on the cross. You give us that opportunity that all we have to do is come to you, Lord Jesus, and recognize that we're sinners and ask you to come into our lives and lead us and forgive us. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that we live in a country where we can get up and ask for prayer requests and that we can worship freely. And Lord, in that sense, we pray for our troops, Lord God, and the leaders of our country. We pray that you would give them people that would help to give good leadership. We pray that you would just surround them, Lord God, with ideas and with implementations that will work. We pray also for peace in this world, Lord. We know that this is part of the human nature and that it will be ongoing, but Lord, we just pray that you would watch over all these people and their families as they're apart and just bless them and guide them. We pray for Glenda and this arthritis in her shoulder that's causing her pain. We just pray, God, that you would help her to get some relief. We just pray that you would continue to guide her and bless her, and we thank you for Tom and his faithfulness to her. We pray for this hurricane in Florida, God. We just pray for protection for the people and the land. We pray, God, that you would just watch over them, that perhaps this would not be as bad as they're predicting, Lord, and that you would just speak through lives and work in your way, Lord God. As Sitlali said, just do your thing, Lord God. We thank you for that. We pray for the people that have lost loved ones in the last few weeks with shootings and with things that have occurred. Lord, we just pray for those families. We don't know them, but God, we know that you do, and we just pray that you would be with them. Provide people that can help to comfort them and to listen to them and to lead them through this time of grieving and anger. We pray for John's procedure on Wednesday. God, we just pray that you would help this to happen, and we pray that you would watch over him and the doctors as they do this. We pray that he would feel better and be able to just really be back to normal soon. We pray for Don and his broken hip and also this heart issues that's coming up. God, we just pray that you would strengthen his heart, strengthen his body, help him so that he can get up and do his rehab and get back into an active life again. We thank you that Lorraine's surgery went well, Lord, and we just pray for healing, and we pray also for the pain. God, we just pray that you would just really make yourself real to her and just help her, Lord God, to just reach out to you for relief. We pray for the family of Dean Dagan and for him, Lord God, as he's on hospice. And I also just lift up Janet and Chris and their families, and we just pray, God, that you would comfort them and guide them. Lord, we know that you work in mysterious ways, and we just pray, God, that you would just revive their hearts and just help them, Lord Jesus, this time, and just prepare them for what's ahead. We pray for the Harvey Strike family and the loss of Harvey, and we just pray, God, that you would use people to help minister to them in this time of grieving. We pray that you would just watch over them and guide them and just lead the ministers who will be providing the service, Lord. Pray for Paulette Gathridge and her family with this heart attack. We just pray, God, that You will help the doctors to know exactly how to treat it, medicines and surgeries, whatever is necessary, God. And we pray that she would be able to get back to her full strength again. Lord, we pray for all the kids that are going to be going back to school and learning again. And we pray for the teachers in the schools and in the homes, God, that you would just guide them and lead them, that you would help us all, Lord, to do the best at what we have and what we can do, and just provide exactly what's needed. We pray for this church, God, that you would just strengthen us and guide us. And we pray for the sermon that Galen has, God, that your spirit would just lead his words and help us to be attentive and listening to what he has to say. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. We have the praise team come up. I don't believe we have special music, do we? No, okay. That's pretty special. Come on up. And then the ushers, if we could have our ushers come forward for the offering today. And sing along with the praise team, please. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for giving us opportunity to come together to worship you. We pray that you'd bless this offering, that you'd guide us, that you'd bless this service, and may you be glorified. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah for the warning.
as you are.
We stand before you today all as broken sinners. Help us to come truthfully to you, to give up the lies we tell ourselves, and trust in your truth. In Christ's name, amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to our time of communion, so if I could have the diaconate come forward, and we will share in communion together. I know there are some missing because of all that's going on, so we need a couple volunteers. And we have an open communion table, so if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are more than welcome to share in this wonderful meal together.
Someone like to pray?
Let's pray.
What's such an invitation, our last song, like, come as you are, come to the table. Lord, help us to just have that willingness to trust you, to believe in you, just left everything in your cross. Thank you again for the opportunity. Help us look deep down in our heart, recommit our love and our trust and our belief in you. Clear our path, Lord, that you know you walk before, behind, and on the other side, that you will protect us. Again, bless our time together and let this as remembrance how we love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
How about now? Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and he broke it, and he said to his disciples, "This bread is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together.
Dear Lord, thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, and help us to always remember what you did for us on the cross. In your name, amen.
In the same way, after supper, we are told that Jesus took the cup, and again he said to his disciples, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which has been given for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you do, have done, and continue to do in our lives. We pray that you would guide us, Lord, and that you would encourage us today. We pray for healing, Lord, in our church. We pray that you would be at work in each and every one of our lives, God, that we would look to you. You are the author, you are the perfecter of our faith. So we come to you and we pray, God, that you would just guide us, that you would lead us, that you'd go before us, and Lord, that you would do your work. We pray this all in your name. And we pray also the prayer that you've taught us to pray today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, as you know, I've been talking about this sermon series that I'm going to be starting, and it's still not ready yet. I keep thinking it is. I know what I'm going to be speaking on. This all started back a few months ago. And it was before Julie and I even went to Nashville to the K-Love Awards, and we got there and we heard Alex Kendrick speak about this new movie that's coming out, this Bible study, which I had already bought. I had pre-bought it because I just felt it was what God was leading me to. And it's all about identity. And I've said that before, that it's like the whole theme of our vacation together was about identity. And watching the movie last night again, God made it very clear to me that that is the path we are headed. This is not part of that sermon yet, that series. But I will be starting it in 3 weeks. Next week, we'll be having Ben speak to us, Ben and Courtney. They've asked, and I really feel that we need to hear from Ben. Then John Erkes is going to preach for me the next Sunday, the 15th, I believe, if I got my dates right. That'll enable me to really concentrate on the two weddings that I have this week, and I also now have another funeral. And just so you know, it's been a busy time. We've had, there are a lot of pastors gone, and there's a lot of things that have been, that I've needed to tend to, not just here, definitely, but in the communities around us as well, so. Thank you for bearing with me and for being patient, but this series will get started very soon. I'm more anxious probably than anybody. You're probably scared, and I'm just anxious to get at it and get on with it. So today, as I was preparing, or this week as I was preparing, and this morning, as I came here to pray, I just really felt this passage in 1 Corinthians, and I preached on it probably 10 years ago. It's been that long. As I was trying to remember what Paul talks to the Corinthians about as a church. And so what Julie read, we'll get to that in a little bit. But one of the qualities of Christian character in my life that I've needed time and again is the quality of having courage, because we are called to live courageously in Christ. That means that we got to do hard things at times. It means that we have to do what God asks us to do, maybe even when we don't want to do it. It means facing our fears. And that's all part of living this life of a Christian, to have strong Christian character. But I want to be perfectly clear to you that you can't do this on your own. I've tried, and I have failed miserably in my life over that. You need the work of the Holy Spirit in you to attain the courage to do it, to live with it, and to have what I call a strong Christian character. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we are called also to surrender. How would the lives of these men be different had they not continued to run from their fears when you think of the life of Abraham? I think of it oftentimes. What would I do as a dad when God tells me to bring my only son, if I only had one, my Isaac, to the altar and sacrifice him? My first thought is I would have picked up my son and I would have ran the other way. What would it have been like if David hadn't faced his fears? And we know David's struggles in his life. We know the sin and the failures that he went through, and yet out of faithfulness and what God did through the power of the Holy Spirit in David's life, he called David a man after God's own heart. And then I thought about Daniel, and I thought, what if he'd run from his fears and said, I'm just going to do whatever the king tells me to do. I'm not going to honor what God is telling me to do, because I don't want to go into the lion's den. I don't want to face that. Or what about Moses? Moses could have easily spent the rest of his life very comfortably in Egypt. But that wasn't what Moses was being called to do. And then I think of Jonah. What if Jonah had not repented and quit running from his fears, because he ran, didn't he? Jonah's life story would have changed dramatically, and so it would have changed dramatically for the Ninevites had Jonah not faced his fear. And again, I want to be perfectly clear, these men did not do this on their own strength. It was what God gave them. So we definitely can understand that courage is essential to living this life with Christian character, of strong Christian character. And today, you'd think I'm going to preach on courage, but I'm not, even though what I'm going to talk about is very closely tied. Because the other attribute of Christian character that I'm going to talk about is being disciplined. And the longer you live, the more you will realize that the importance of discipline in living this Christian life is crucial to you being faithful, crucial to you doing the right things. Discipline, to me, is one of the most important Christian character qualities that you can have. And it plays a role in all our lives. And you can look at discipline in two ways, as I thought about it. And the first one is that I'm going to speak to is this discipline we need for spiritual correction. When we sin or when we stray from what I talked about 2 weeks ago about holy living. And the second discipline that we're going to talk about is the discipline that Paul talks about when he talks about this in 1 Corinthians, the discipline it takes to run the race, to live this life as a Christian. It takes discipline. As I think about the role that discipline played in my life, I think first of all of my childhood. I wasn't this wonderful, always nice kid. I know that shocks all of you. If I intentionally did something wrong, I was disciplined with what I would call a gentle rod of correction. I was not put in a timeout. But I would receive what was known as a spanking. And my mom was an awesome mom. And I remember very clearly, even to this day, as I think back, as that spanking never hurt me. What hurt me the most was the disappointment on my mother's face when I had let her down, or my father's. And I remember one time my mother disciplined me and I saw a tear come down her face and I said, I don't ever want to see that again. That was the discipline that I needed. As I got older, I learned very on that I had to be disciplined to study. I had to be disciplined to work hard if I wanted good grades. I was always one that had to finish my homework in school because I didn't like homework, and I knew once I got home that I would not be disciplined enough to do it. Which leads me to the other discipline that we are going to talk mostly about today, and that's the discipline of being a spiritually strong church. And let me tell you, it's easy to be lazy when it comes to this. When it came to sports for me, I knew I had to work hard and I had to practice if I wanted to play. If I wanted to be in the game, I had to discipline myself. And sometimes that meant pain. And then when I started working, I had to be disciplined if I wanted to hold a job. It takes discipline and patience to begin starting with what you would consider a job that is at the bottom of the ladder and work your way up. And to me, that kind of discipline is not much different than the discipline that we need for our spiritual lives. Just like it's easy to hide from responsibility as a child, you maybe choose not to do your homework, you usually pay a penalty. You pay a price. Or if you choose not to work hard in sports, what do you? You probably don't get to play. You don't get to be in the game. Or if you choose not to be disciplined on your job, you may be looking for a new job. Or a new career. The same thing that can happen when we are not spiritually disciplined in our walk with Christ. It is easy even for that, and sometimes really easy, to run from our responsibilities when things are hard, instead of run to our responsibilities as Christians. So what about spiritual discipline? Do we need discipline to mature in our spiritual lives? I hope your answer is yes. It's way too easy to not spend time in God's Word. It is way too easy to not come together to worship. It is way too easy not to pray. And I thought of what Julie had mentioned earlier in the movie Overcomer, where Alex Kendrick is sitting with this gentleman at the hospital visiting, and he promises that he would pray for him when he left. And then when he returned, the guy said, "Did you pray for me?" And Alex had no answer for him other than to hang his head and say, "I did not." It takes discipline to do what you say you're going to do. Sometimes it's easy to come up with excuses, isn't it? Like we're too busy. Or maybe the time's not right. I'll get to it later. I've heard so many excuses because I've listened to myself, because I've had them all. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll go visit tomorrow. But God clearly calls you and I to be disciplined Christians. The Bible has so many scripture verses that help us in our spiritual walk, and it takes discipline to do this. To live this life, to listen to God when he prompts us. But if you're not in his word, if you're not in prayer, and if you're not in fellowship, it's pretty easy to miss that call on your life. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. I don't have the clicker up here, so could you change it for me? Thank you. Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize," Paul said. "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No," he says, "I beat my body, and I make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Paul isn't talking about his salvation here. He's talking about the prize of getting to do God's work and the wonderful benefit it is to be a part of this amazing thing called the Great Commission, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. In Paul's day, when this letter was written, there was foot races in Corinth. They were called Isthmian Games. And they were kind of like the Olympics. And they were held every 2 years. The runners would run, hoping to win the prize. They would train. They would train for 2 years to do this. But the prize they were hoping for was a perishable olive wreath that they'd wear, and they would get to put it on, and people would praise them for their amazing abilities. The crazy thing was that shortly after the race was over, this wreath would begin to die. It was perishable. Paul uses a good example that only one of the runners get that prize. That would just wither and die. You wonder why they trained so hard. Was it just for the praise of men? I'd say that's part of it, isn't it? Probably the big part. And yet each runner would go into such strict training, even though this thing would just wither and die shortly after they'd won it. The winner, of course, would be recognized throughout the land as the greatest athlete, which was really the desire of all the runners. It was to be known for your abilities. The runners would prepare for months and years just so they could wear this crazy perishable olive wreath and to be praised by men. But Paul says in verse 25 that we Christians compete in this world. Exercise self-control, and we live intentionally, or we should be, for Christ, and discipline ourselves in order to obtain something that is imperishable, something that doesn't wither, something that doesn't die. And furthermore, there can be many winners, not just one, in this race that Paul calls us to. He's not speaking. There's only going to be one person that's going to get this. He says, do like this. Do like this runner that competes and does everything to win the prize. Verse 26 says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I've got a plan. He said, don't do that. Don't be like a man beating the air. Paul said he had a goal in mind. He had a path. He had a finish line. And his eyes were fixed on it. You know, as I think about the times in my life that I've messed up, or I've made the wrong choices and I've said the wrong things, I've made the wrong decisions, those have been the times in my life I can clearly look back and say, I wasn't training. I had taken my eyes off the goal. And I got caught up in my own thing. And it's so easy to take that bait in this world. It's so easy to get caught living a frustrated Christian life, because sometimes we live like we're in this ship without a port, that we don't have any place to go. We're just out in the water, living this life until Christ calls us home. But the truth is that we've got a rudder on that ship, and we call it the Holy Spirit, at least I do. And we've got God's word from the scriptures. We've got everything we need, and sometimes we just don't use them. And so we wander around the ocean just floating aimlessly. And it's easy when things are going really well in our lives as Christians. Is it so easy to live this Christian life when there's not persecution? I've wondered many times what it would be like to just spend 1 year in another country where there is truly persecution against Christians. Would we come back and worship differently? Would we come back with a thankful heart for what we have here? Would we come back embarrassed by our lack of worshiping with all our hearts? And I think that's where I would be. In verse 27, we see the discipline and commitment that Paul had in his life. And it is a powerful verse on discipline. Paul realizes the discipline and commitment it takes to serve Christ. Paul says here that he beats his body and he makes it his slave. Can you get that image? Is there some sin in your life that you are so frustrated that you would literally beat your body to get rid of it? I visited someone just the other day in a jail that had admitted to me that he had been punching himself because he was so angry with his life choice. He said, I wanted to hurt myself so bad. All I could do is to think I just need to keep punching myself in the face. What does that image mean to you? We need to fight to be faithful. We need to seek God every morning in devotions and in prayer. We need to fight to think good thoughts. We need to rebuke the critical thinking. We need to fight to speak good words. Anything that would damage your personal witness to do this amazing spiritual journey, walk that you are on as a Christian, anything that damages that, we should want nothing to do with it. The way that you and I get rid of sin in our lives, when I think of my life, is running toward Christ. Having your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. One of my favorite scriptures. Not running aimlessly, as Paul says. And sometimes it means we got to beat our body. We need to make it our slave. When we run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, we aren't staring at ourselves or the world or getting fooled into chasing after things in this world. I'm so glad that God's mercies are new every morning. Because I can't tell you how many days in my life I have failed at doing what I'm preaching about. So the question I have to you as we close is, do you have what it takes to be spiritually disciplined? Well, if you are a believer, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you have what it takes to be spiritually disciplined. My question is, what do you do with that sin nature then that you also are plagued with? I believe that's totally where we need to make our body the slave. Not to sin, but to righteousness. That is God's work in you. And again, this is not on your own strength, trust me. This is through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God who says, the work that I began in you, I'm going to finish. And yet Paul says that we need to run, we need to train. We have a part to play in living this life out. I have to confess to you that if I only relied on myself, with my thoughts and my reasoning and my feelings and my emotions, I would mess up so badly. And I would fail you miserably. My only hope is that I can keep my eyes fixed on Christ, and that he would give me the strength to do that. So many times in our lives we give too much credit to Satan. I know I do. The problem oftentimes what I find out is me. And I'm so thankful that God knows me and that he loves me. When I think of Psalm 139, I am so blessed to know that he knows everything about me. Maybe we just need this morning to end with a song that we heard probably 30 years ago. Probably. And as I close, I would like us to look at one more passage of scripture before we sing that closing verse. It's out of Galatians 5:16. And Paul again tells the Galatians, he says, so I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sin nature. And if you know anything about chapter 5 in Galatians, you'll hear of all the struggles that were going on in the church. And Paul's solution was the same solution for you and me today when I talk about this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit when you receive Christ as your Savior. Paul says simply, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sin nature or your flesh. And so I'd just like to close today with one song. We're going to do it a cappella. I'd like you all to stand. We're going to do this at least twice. For those of you that don't know what you will by the end. Let's start. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that you'd guide us, Lord. Father, it is so clear, Lord, that living this life, God, is not an easy road for us. And yet, Lord, you call us to live in this broken world, God, that is filled with sin, and we pray that you would guide us, that you'd give us strength, that you would help us and encourage us to discipline ourselves, that we would live lives that you've called us to live, lives that are considered to be holy and pleasing to you. We pray that you would just direct our paths and lead us in your way. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.